How many of you have ever had something happen and all of a sudden you needed forgiveness? Right? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the power of forgiveness. Let me read you a couple more verses of scripture out of the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 32, if you have your Bible or an iPad or something, you got the Word of God downloaded on. If not, just look at the screens. Here's what it says. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. Aren't you glad your transgressions are forgiven? Boy, there should have been more response than that. I hope the campuses responded well. Blessed, I'm going to read that again because you didn't get it. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. Amen, right? Whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Man, I'm glad he's not holding stuff over my head today. And in whose spirit is no deceit. Now, we talk about that whole aspect there where our sins are covered, and then it goes on to say, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now, here's what I found out about that aspect of deceit in our spirit. Here's what that's talking about. How many of you have ever felt guilty? I squint so I can see better. If you didn't raise your hand, you might want to move. That person is a psychopath or psychotic at some level, right? Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. You know, we've all felt guilty. And a lot of times, we have a tendency to think, man, guilt, we need to get rid of guilt. Let me say something to you, and hear what I'm going to say today as I begin this process. I want to tell you something. Guilt is not bad. You've got to learn what guilt is for. Now, condemnation is bad. Here's what the Bible says about condemnation. The Scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You and I have to come to an understanding. We're walking after, once you come into relationship with Jesus, you're walking after the Spirit. So I'm not in condemnation, but hey, you know what? When I stray, when I go into paths that I don't need to, there is the guilt that is associated with what has happened in my life and what has taken place. Now, let's talk about what guilt does to us. The first thing is that guilt destroys our confidence. How many of you know that when you've done something that you shouldn't do, that you begin to feel a little insecure, you're worried about somebody else finding it out, right? Also, you're kind of insecure about this thing with God because you know you've got this issue, you know you've got this sin that has taken place in your life, and all of a sudden, I mean, you know, last week things were going pretty good and you were telling people how great God was and what he'd done in your life, but now you kind of got off the path. I'll read a scripture in a minute that shows you got off the path, all right? And what we find happening in that moment is that we find ourselves in that moment. I mean, it's like, you know, you're out with a group of friends. Maybe you're in a small group setting and you've gone in that day and they call on you to pray. Well, I'm going to tell you what. When you've got guilt, you're real insecure about praying right then. It's like, I don't, you know, come on, just, you know, shikamo shy and pass me on by. Let's move that one over here. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get, because I've lost confidence because of this guilt thing that's on me. Secondly, is guilt damages our relationships. Here's what I found out. Guilt sabotages relationships, and it causes us to respond in some pretty harmful ways. One of the ways that we respond or in that whole dynamic there is impatience or anger. And we just react. And then, bam, we hit somebody. And it's not that we're really, it's not their fault, it's our fault. We're the ones who's struggling with the issue, but the anger comes out, the frustration comes out. Or the other side of that is, I've seen people who, because of their guilt, they'll indulge their kids. Or they'll let things go on in their family because, you know, they got this, and in the back of their mind, they know what they've done. They know what's back there, and so they won't do that. Or another aspect is sometimes guilt will keep people from committing. They won't make that commitment in a relationship. They won't get really committed to that relationship because they got this guilt thing that they're carrying around like, you know, like a sack on their back, and it just is continue to weigh them down, and they're not willing to do that. The third thing that guilt does is that guilt keeps us stuck in the past. Guilt is like a dog on a chain. You understand what I'm saying? How many of you have ever seen a dog on a chain, and they can be the biggest, baddest dog, but if the chain's big enough, they can run. They'll run full out, and they'll hit the end of that chain, and that chain will just jerk them back, doesn't it? That's what guilt does. You're going full bore. You're doing what you can, but guilt keeps us focused on yesterday. Guilt keeps pulling us back away from what God wants us to do. And so we're good. We're doing good. We're running. And all of a sudden we hit the end of that chain and boom, we're back again and we're not experiencing what God has. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to help us to move past that guilt. Amen. I said guilt was good, but we've got to learn how to handle guilt so that we can move in to what it is that God has for us and what it is he's called us to do. And so we're going to kind of get real practical for a few minutes, okay? How many of you know the Apostle Paul writing there in Philippians, he said that word, work, right? He said, work out your own salvation. Now, I believe salvation is free. I believe when you come to God and that you it's not all your works, lest any man should boast or any person should boast. I believe that. But the scripture says that we have to work out our salvation. There's some things that once I get saved, I've got to do. And if I'm going to handle guilt, if I'm going to handle those things that the enemy is trying his dead level best to keep me in, then I've got to learn how to do it. So let's talk about moving past guilt, okay? The first thing that we have to do is we have to take a personal moral inventory. And I'm going to give you a little sentence with each of those letters, moral, in just a minute. How many of you know, how many of you have ever done this? How many of you have ever decided you're going to clean out the closets at your house? Ever done that? Are you going to clean out the garage? Are you going to, you know, whatever? And all of a sudden, you start digging through and you find stuff that you didn't remember you had, right? It's like, I didn't know we had that. I didn't know we had this. And it's all this stuff that's been kind of stuck back in the dark corner for years and years and years. And now all of a sudden, you bring it out. Well, here's what I want to help us do today. I want to help us to clean our closets. Wow. Nobody shouted. I said, Pastor, I don't want to do spring cleaning. Well, this will be good for you, okay? So let's give a moral, okay? The M stands for make time, okay? Make time to begin this inventory. Make time to begin to look at your life. It's not just, you can't be running. Here's what I'm learning. Most of you know that Sherry and I were gone for several days, and it was one of those moments that I knew we needed to be gone. We were celebrating 35 years of ministry this month, but I had to come to that place where I needed some time just to get away. Sometimes you got to just get away, but you got to take time to do that. The O there is that you got to open your heart and open your mind, all right? I want to open my heart to God. I want to say, God, what is it? Would you show me? Here's what the Bible says about your heart. You ready? The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it but God? Don't raise your hand on this one, but have you ever, because I don't want you telling all your secrets, have you ever had things happen and come out of you and you go, I didn't know that was there? It's just like, I didn't know that was inside of me. I didn't know. I mean, I've been, you know, back in the day. How many of you remember back in the day when the clergy, you know, the preachers all sat on the platform? Remember that? You know, we had these big thrones. I don't know what that was all about. Those big old chairs we sat in, and you know, I guess we were elevated. I never understood it. Never liked it, but we did it. And I've sat on the stage and had stuff go through my mind and go, I can't be thinking that. I'm getting ready to preach. Where'd that come from, right? Where'd that idea, where'd that thought? So we got to be willing to open our hearts, open our minds to the Lord, and say, Lord, I'm coming. The second thing you got to do is you've got to, I mean, the third thing is you've got to rely on God's grace. See, I'm not doing this by myself. The grace of God is God's empowerment in your life. That's what grace means. It's the power of God coming in your life. And so I'm coming to that place of saying, Lord, I got some stuff. I'm carrying this guilt. I'm carrying this condemnation. I'm carrying this stuff in my life. But here's what I'm doing. I'm coming to you today, and I am believing that your power is going to enable me to get set free. The A there stands for analyze. Analyze your past. You need to look at your past. You need to deal with your past. We need to not play with the past. How many of you know we kind of, have you ever been around people, older people, you know, like 112? You know, 56 used to be older people, but it's not anymore. 112 is looking like older people, okay? And all they want to do is talk about how good it was back in the good old days. I want to tell you, the good old days were not that good. I mean, they really, you go back and look, they weren't that good. But you kind of, you know, you reminisce, oh, it was so wonderful walking to school, you know, uphill both ways and telling you junk. It wasn't that much fun. A car's much better than a walk any day, you know. And don't all you health people come talk to me. Leave me alone, all right? So you got to analyze your path. And lastly, the L there is that you need to list both the bad choices and the good choices you've made, right? We're all really good at listing the bad choices we made. Here's all the stuff I did wrong. Well, yeah, but let's also balance that a little bit. Let's list the good choice. Say, Pastor, I've never made a good choice. Well, I'm glad you're here today. We're going to help you, all right? Now, once I've done that, then here's what I've got to do. I've got to accept responsibility for my faults. Now, I know a few of us think we don't have any. And we've told our wife we didn't. But everybody else knows we do. Amen? So we've just got to say, you know what? I'm guilty. I'm at fault. I got this. And here's what I want to say. When you're dealing with that, when you're in this process, you've got to be radically honest in that moment. All right? That word radically, you've got to be, you can't, how many of you have ever, it's kind of like you've gone to the Lord, but you tried to hide something. You wanted to pray, but you kind of said, I want to pray about this, but Lord, let's not deal with this over here. Right? No. I've got to be totally honest. First of all, he knows what we've done. He knows the junk. He knows the stuff. He knows all that. He still loves us, thank God. Amen? But what I've got to do is I've got to be honest, because until I get honest, I'm never ever going to be able to deal with the issue, and then I'm never going to be able to get free of the guilt and walk in the forgiveness that God has for me. So be radically honest. Secondly, there is, don't rationalize. All right? I mean, how many people rationalize? Well, it's no big deal. It's not that big a deal. Well, let me say this to you. If it's not such a big deal, why are you still remembering it 20 years later? I smiled when I said that, but I mean it. What? Well, if it's, that's no big deal. No. If it's still weighing on you, when you're in your quiet time and you're still carrying it, then it is a big deal, and we need to do it. So don't be right. The next aspect here, don't blame others. I'm tired of the blame game. I'm on a one-man mission, or whoever else wants to join in, to get people to accept responsibility for their actions. I'm going to say something. Some of you are not going to like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. It won't be the first time you've not liked something I've said. Right? Come on. Go ahead and fess up. You are where you are in life because of the choices you have made. Now, we won't blame everybody. It's my mama's fault. It's my daddy's fault. It's the school system's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's the man. I never know who that one is. It's the man's fault. He's keeping me down. No. Wait a minute. No. Stop it. Cut it out. Get over it. I am not going to be able to get freedom and walk in what God has for me as long as I'm always pointing my finger at somebody else and blaming somebody else. Pastor, you don't know my story. No, I don't. And I'm not belittling your story. But here's what I want to tell you. Most, if not all of us, have enough of a story that we could all be at home, lock the door, and spend every day in bed and just get up to collect a check. And you know what? That's what a lot of people do. They've given up on life. They've gone through a hard time. They've experienced a bad time. They've gone through something that was horrible. And what they've done is they've just shut down and said, I'm not even going to cope anymore. I'm not even going to try. It's over. I'm just going to stay at home. Listen, God did not call us to shut the door on our trials and our tribulation. God called us to be more than overcomers through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we've got to come to that place where we learn how to live in the abundance that God has for us. And I'm never, ever going to be able to do that as long as I'm blaming everybody else and saying it's everybody else's fault and it's, this is going on and that. No. I've got to come to the place of saying, wait a minute, this is what I'm going to do. You know what the Apostle Paul said? The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on. He said, I'm going to move in to what God has for me. The next thing there is don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Have you ever seen people lie to themselves? Right? I mean, come on. We do it at so many different levels. Boy, one just went through my mind. I'm going to get in so much trouble for doing this. Here we go. No, I'll do it this way, and this way I won't get in trouble. I was going to use a woman, but I'll use a man. I was with this friend of mine a few years ago. Whew, thank you, Lord, for giving me an escape in a time of trouble. I was with a buddy of mine and a pastor friend. We walked into a store, and he was looking at suits, and the guy said, what size are you? And he goes, I'm a 40. And the guy goes, you were a 40 20 years ago. And he was right. The guy's bigger than I am. He's about a 46 long. And so I've laughed about that for you. But you know, that's kind of deceiving yourself, right? And there's a lot of that goes on in a lot of ways and a lot of places. But here's let me read you what 1 John says. You ready? 1 John, the first chapter, the 8th verse says, listen to what it says. If we claim to be without sin, did you hear me? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Wow. Wow. If we claim to be a, I don't sin. You just did. Because the Bible says if you claim to be a, I'm walking in perfection. The Bible says if you claim to be without sin, the truth is not in you. You know what they used to say when I was a kid? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Right? The truth is not in you. So let's not be deceiving ourselves. Now, I want to take just a moment to breathe for a second here. Because here's what I want to say to somebody. Some of you are listening to me today, and you have experienced horrendous things in life. And so you're hearing what I'm saying today. And you think pastor is being mean and hard. I want to say something to you. I want you to listen carefully. If you've ever been physically or sexually abused as a child or an adult, I want you to know, first of all, that I'm sorry that you suffered that abuse. I'm sorry you went through that. The second thing I want to say is over your life, there's two words written, and those words are not guilty. Not guilty. Listen to me. You're not guilty. No part of that sin that was committed against you was your fault. You don't need to take responsibility because of somebody else's bad decisions or somebody else's willingness to hurt their own family member or to bring trauma in any way. You need to understand that you can't change what happened. The only thing you can do is change your future, not your past. And so as pastors preaching, I'm not trying to tell you if those things happen to you that you're guilty. That's not what I'm saying, and so I want to be clear about that. But what I'm talking to us about is those things that you and I have committed, those things that we've done, those things that we've kind of stuffed back in the closet, we've got to handle. Now, how do I do that? Well, I've got to ask God for forgiveness. I've got to ask God for forgiveness. See, I read to you that if we say we don't have sin, we're not telling the truth. But 1 John 1:9 goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he, speaking of God, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify, listen to that word, purify us from all unrighteousness. That's what God does when we're willing to say, Lord, here's what I've done. Here's what's happened, and in that moment, God not only forgives us, he purifies us. Now, I'm going to tell you something else that we need to do to get past some things in our life, okay? And I'm talking about every little thing that happens. You know, hey, you have you ever heard somebody say, I told a little white lie? I've read the Bible several times. I've never found that in Scripture. I just found lies, right? But I don't think you have to, you don't have to go do what I'm getting ready to tell you in everything. But some instances you do, and that's this. You need to admit your faults to another person. Now, I'll give you Scripture because that one's hard to take. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Now, let me say this before some of you run off and confess to the wrong person. Read the rest of the verse and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Don't find the biggest gossip. Don't find the person who lives on Facebook, who's putting everybody's business out there. Don't tell them your stuff. Some of y'all need to keep some things to yourself. We don't need to know all your business. I'm not going to preach about Facebook, maybe. All right? The Word of God, so we need to share that with. But here's why. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I read a statement years ago that I'm going to tell you. It's not original with me, but here's what they said. It said, we are only as sick as our secrets. Those things that we don't bring into the light. You know what I found out about the devil? I'll do this quick. You know what I found out about the devil? The devil has power in darkness. What you keep hidden, what you keep pushed away, that's where the, but when you bring it into the light, the devil can't do anything with it. He's not powerful in the light. He runs from the light. And so we got to learn to get some things in the open, into the light. Now, here's what I want to say to you. You've got to learn to accept God's forgiveness. And most of us know that. Most of us know that we need to accept God's forgiveness. But we also need to forgive ourselves. And I'll help you with that. Here's what the Word of God says. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many times have I talked with parents whose children's lives are in a mess who say to me, Pastor, if I'd been a better parent, my kids wouldn't be so messed up. I've heard that many, many times over the past several years I've pastored. You know what? There are no perfect parents. And I used to say that all the time. And then one day I remembered there was one perfect parent. Jehovah God was perfect. He had two kids, put them in a perfect environment, and they still messed it up. So even a perfect God, having perfect kids in a perfect environment, they messed up. So there are some of us today who need to come to that place where we not only accept God's forgiveness, but we forgive ourselves for the mistakes, for the tragedies, for whatever it was that's back there, and be like the Apostle Paul who said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on toward the mark of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. So what actually happens? You say, this forgiveness thing, Pastor, what actually happens when God forgives us? I want to talk about that as I kind of wrap this up today. First of all, God forgives instantly. I mean, when you confess, no, don't miss this. When you confess and say, Lord, forgive me, instantly. You remember the thief on the cross? He said, we deserve this. You know, and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said to him, today, instantly, today you'll be with me in paradise. In a month. I mean, you talk about, people say, Pastor, do you believe in deathbed repentance? I believe all repentances are deathbed repentances. We're all one heartbeat away from death. Amen. We don't know when the next breath is going to come, but here's what I do know. I know that when I ask God to forgive me, he forgives me in that moment. He doesn't say, well, prove yourself. Come on, that's what we do, right? I'll watch you, and if you really do it, then I'll... No. He forgives us instantly. The second thing that he does is that he forgives us freely. How many of you know sometimes that's hard for us to do as human beings? Right? Well, I tell you what, if you'll do 3,000 push-ups, then I'll forgive you. And you know they couldn't do two. You know, whatever. We come to that place. No. God forgives us freely. You know why he forgives us freely? Because Jesus Christ shed his blood. He's already paid your penalty and my penalty and all the penalty of the world. And all I've got to do, the Word of God says clearly that Jesus Christ came, and all that I've got to do is I've got to believe on him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes on him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, right? Everlasting life. Not only does he forgive freely, he forgives completely. Completely. It's over. It's done. The Bible says he takes your sins and he puts them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them against you ever again. He forgives you completely. How many of you know that sometimes we don't forgive completely? Amen? Let me help marriages for a minute. I love doing marriage counseling like this. This is the way I do marriage counseling. The reason that so many marriages are in trouble is because we don't forgive completely. You say, Pastor, it's in my mind. I didn't say you had to forget it, but you had to forgive completely. If you want your marriage to be healthy, you can't. You say, well, how do I know if I've forgiven completely? I got the answer for you. You ready? Here's how you know if you have forgiven completely. You ready for it? Come on, you ready? Here's how you know. The next time you get in an argument, or as I like to call it, intense fellowship, the next time you have one of those, if you bring it up, you haven't completely forgiven. If you leave it laying, you've forgiven. God completely forgives. You come back tomorrow and you say, Lord, I'm doing it. I did it again. He goes, what are you talking about? Again. There's no again with God. Once you have been forgiven, there's no again. Some of us need to get that. Now, let me say this to you. When you're asking for forgiveness, don't beg. Don't beg. How many of you know when your kids walk up, Daddy, I want you just, right? I was in the airport this week, and there was a kid going off. And I don't know what they wanted. I was ready to give it to them or give something to their parents, one or the other. And I see so many Christians, they pray, and it looks like they're having the worst experience. Like, oh, God, if you could. And I'm just thinking, God looks down and says, stop it. You don't have to beg me to forgive you. Jesus Christ already paid your price. So don't beg. The second thing is, don't bargain. Now, we've done this one. Come on, you ready? Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll never do. Come on. I'll never do it again. I'll tell you another one. You know, I said liar, liar. You remember that one? I got another one for you. You lie, you fry. Lord, we think telling God that kind of a prayer that makes him want to answer us more. Do you realize that the Word of God says that before you were ever born, he knew your days? In other words, he knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He lives in the eternal now. We live in segments of a thing called time. God lives in timelessness. God knows everything you're going to do, and yet God still chooses to forgive you. He still says, I love you more than your mistakes and your sins. I love you so much that I will forgive you. You don't have to bargain with me. I have already paid the price through Jesus Christ, my son. The flip side of that coin is, don't bargain, don't bribe. So what do you mean by that? Well, here's how that one goes. Lord, if you'll forgive me, I promise I'll go be a missionary in East Jahunga. I don't know where that is, but Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll tell my neighbor about Jesus. If you'll forgive, now, he doesn't, please understand, God doesn't need you to bribe him to forgive you. So don't do those things. But here's what I do want you to do. You need to believe. Do believe. Believe that he will forgive you. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Believe that if you confess your sin, that he is just and faithful to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do that. Because you know what happens when you do that? When you do that, the guilt of the past is broken. It's laid aside. And now you can begin to walk in the freedom that God has for you. Amen. And that's what I want to see. I want to see Christians living the abundant life that Jesus Christ has called us to. That's where I want us to be.